Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Ram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Basra Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the eighth parak Yesh Nochlin. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, Abai said from the fact that the Torah recorded only two complaints regarding receiving portions in Eretz Yisrael, Benot Zlofchad and Shevet Yosef, that there was no one who entered Eretz Yisrael who did not receive a portion. If someone else had complained, it would have been recorded. The Gemara adds that one cannot argue that only complaints which were successful in obtaining portions were recorded, such as that of Benot Zlofchad, because the petition of Shevet Yosef was not successful and was still recorded. However, the Gemara responds that perhaps the Torah would only record successful protests, and Shevet Yosef's complaint was recorded because Eitz HaTovah K'mashmalan, it teaches us good advice. Diboy le'inish das dehuri me'ein abisha, that a person should beware an evil eye. Yeshua told them, if you are such a numerous people, go up to the forest. The Gemara explains that he meant, l'chu ve'hechavu atzmechem yarin, go hide yourselves in the forest, shotishlut bechem ein ra, so the evil eye should not affect you. Point number two, Shevet Yosef responded to Yeshua's advice to ascend to the forest to avoid Ein Hara, that they are descendants of Yosef, the Shaltaba in Abisha, over whom the evil eye has no power, because the Pasuk describes Yosef as Ben Poros Ali Ein, a charming son to the eye, which Rabbi Avoh darshans as Oli Ein, those who rise over the eye. Rav Yossi Bredi and Rabbi Chanina quoted another source. Yaakov blessed Yosef's son, saying, "V'yidgul rov bekerav ha'aretz, and may they multiply like fish within the land, comparing them to fish. Ma dagim shebeyam, just as fish in the sea. Ma mechasim aleihem ve'ein ha'ayin shelotes behem. Water covers them, and the eye therefore has no power over them. Avzar shel Yosef ein ha'ayin shelotes behem. So too, regarding Yosef's descendants, the evil eye has no power." And point number three, Abraisa states that Yehoshua and Kalev received the portions in Eretz Yisrael of the Meraglim, who explains that the Pasuk says about Yehoshua and Kalev, Chayumina Anashim Ahim, they lived from among those men. Now, it cannot be saying that they literally survived them because that is already stated in another Pasuk. Rather, it's teaching Shechayu Bechelkam, that they lived in the spies' portions. The Braisa also states that the Misalonim, the complainers, and Ades Korach had no portion in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara said another Braisa teaches that Yeshua and Kalev took their portions and explains that they argue if the Misalonim are compared to the Meraglim through a Hekesh, which would indicate that Yeshua and Kalev received their portions, or if they're not compared to the Meraglim and receive no portion at all. According to the opinion that Yeshua and Kalev received their portions, it cannot refer to all those who complained in the Midbar, in which case Yeshua and Kalev would have received nearly all of Eretz Yisrael. Rather, it refers to the Misalonim Shba'adis Korach, the complainers of Korach's assembly. So once again, the three points are, number one, Abai said, from the fact that the Torah recorded only two complaints regarding receiving portions in Eretz Yisrael, Benot Zlofchad and Shevet Yosef, that there was no one who entered Eretz Yisrael who did not receive a portion. If someone else had complained, it would have been recorded. The Gemara adds that one cannot argue that only complaints which were successful in obtaining portions were recorded, such as that of Benot Zlofchad, because the petition of Shevet Yosef was not successful and was still recorded. However, the Gemara responds that perhaps the Torah would only record successful protests, and Shevet Yosef's complaint was recorded because Eitz HaTovah K'mashmalan, it teaches us good advice. Diboy le'inish das dehuri me'ein abisha, that a person should beware an evil eye. Yeshua told them, if you are such a numerous people, go up to the forest. The Gemara explains that he meant, l'chu ve'hechavu atzmechem yarin, go hide yourselves in the forest, shotishlut bechem ein ra, so the evil eye should not affect you. Point number two, Shevet Yosef responded to Yeshua's advice to ascend to the forest to avoid Ein Hara, that they are descendants of Yosef, the Shaltaba in Abisha, over whom the evil eye has no power, because the Pasuk describes Yosef as Ben Poros Ali Ein, a charming son to the eye, which Rabbi Avoh darshans as Oli Ein, those who rise over the eye. Rav Yossi Bredi and Rabbi Chanina quoted another source. Yaakov blessed Yosef's son, saying, "V'yidgul rov bekerav ha'aretz, and may they multiply like fish within the land, comparing them to fish. Ma dagim shebeyam, just as fish in the sea. Ma mechasim aleihem ve'ein ha'ayin shelotes behem. Water covers them, and the eye therefore has no power over them. Avzar shel Yosef ein ha'ayin shelotes behem. So too, regarding Yosef's descendants, the evil eye has no power." And point number three, Abraisa states that Yehoshua and Kalev received the portions in Eretz Yisrael of the Meraglim, who explains that the Pasuk says about Yehoshua and Kalev, Chayumina Anashim Ahim, they lived from among those men. Now, it cannot be saying that they literally survived them because that is already stated in another Pasuk. Rather, it's teaching Shechayu Bechelkam, that they lived in the spies' portions. The Braisa also states that the Misalonim, the complainers, and Ades Korach had no portion in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara adds that another Braisa teaches that Yeshua and Kalev took their portions and explains that they argue if the Misalonim are compared to the Meraglim through a Hekesh, which would indicate that Yeshua and Kalev received their portions, or if they're not compared to the Meraglim and receive no portion at all. According to the opinion that Yeshua and Kalev received their portions, it cannot refer to all those who complained in the Midbar, in which case Yeshua and Kalev would have received nearly all of Eretz Yisrael. Rather, it refers to the Misalonim Shba'adis Korach, the complainers of Korach's assembly. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Kuf Yod Ches, and our standard Siman is Kichel. Kichel, so here goes. The family who ate their delicious kichel while hiding in the forest so they wouldn't get Anayin Hara looked down at the Yosef family eating their kichel in the open, since they were like fish that the eye has no power over, and who liked to picnic in the Meraglim's portions of land which were given to Yehoshua and Kalev. Once again, slow motion. The family who ate their delicious kichel, that must be more on Daf Kuf Yod Ches. The family who ate their delicious kichel while hiding in the forest so they wouldn't get Anayin Hara, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that perhaps the reason that Shevet Yosef's complaint about receiving a portion in Eretz Yisrael was recorded was because of Eitz HaTovah Kamash Malan. It teaches us good advice, that a person should beware Anayin Hara. Yehoshua told them, if you're such a numerous people, go up to the forest. The Gemara explains he meant, go hide yourselves in the forest, Shelo Tishlo Bechem Ayin Ra, so the evil eye of others should not affect you. So the family who ate their delicious kichel while hiding in the forest, so they wouldn't get Anayin Hara looked down at the Yosef family eating their kichel in the open, since they were like fish, that the eye has no power over. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Breda Rabbi Chanina quoted another source that teaches that Shevet Yosef was not subject to Ayin Hara. Yaakov blessed Yosef's son, saying, V'yidgu laro bekerav ha'aretz, and may they multiply like fish within the land, comparing them to fish. Ma dagim shebayam, just as fish in the sea. Ma mechasim alem me'ena ayin shaletes behem. Water covers them, and the eye therefore has no power over them. Avzar shel Yosef ein ha'ayin shaletes behem. So too regarding Yosef's descendants, the evil eye has no power. So the family who ate their delicious kichel while hiding in the forest, so they wouldn't get Anayin Hara, looked down at the Yosef family eating their kichel in the open, since they were like fish that the eye has no power over, and who liked to picnic in the Meraglim's portions of land which were given to Yehoshua and Kalev. Which reminds us, Yehoshua and Kalev received the Meraglim's portions, and there's a machlokas whether they received the portions of the Misalonim in Adas Korach. So once again, the family who ate their delicious kichel while hiding in the forest so they wouldn't get Anayin Hara looked down at the Yosef family eating their kichel in the open, since they were like fish that the eye has no power over, and who liked to picnic in the Meraglim's portions of land which were given to Yehoshua and Kalev. All right, so now it's time for four Balabach Chazar. Daf Kuf Yadal. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yadal is a kiddie park. So here goes. The kids playing Kenyan Suda on top of the kiddie park slide. Kiddie park? That must be on Daf Kuf Yadal. The kids playing Kenyan Suda on top of the kiddie park slide, who quickly went down right after the Suda was handed over to enact no backsies, no tracksies, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Kenyan ad emesai chozer, until when can one retract from an acquisition? We shall say this refers to a Kenyan Suda, where an agreement is made binding through one giving a kerchief to the other. Rabbi says, Kozman shi yoshvin, as long as they are seated together, because there's an understanding that each party can reconsider while they're still seated together. Rav Yosef says, Kozman shi oskin ba osa inyan, as long as they're dealing with the same topic of conversation, but not after they begin discussing another topic. So the kids playing Kenyan Suda on top of the kiddie park slide, who quickly went down right after the Suda was handed over to enact no backsies, no tracksies, noticed that the park was donated in memory of a boy who died before his mother, causing her Yerusha to go to her relatives rather than his paternal brothers, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that a woman bequeaths to her son the same way a woman bequeaths to her husband. Ma'isha as bala, just as with a woman bequeathing to her husband, ain a bal yorsh as ishto bekever, the husband does not inherit his wife in the grave, meaning he does not inherit assets of her relatives who died after her. Af isha as bana, so too with a woman bequeathing to her son, a son does not inherit his mother in the grave, meaning that is if he died before his mother, to thereby pass the inheritance to his paternal brothers. Instead, her own relatives inherit her. So the kids playing Kenyan Suda on top of the kiddie park slide, who quickly went down right after the Suda was handed over to enact no backsies, no tracksies, noticed the park was donated in memory of a boy who died before his mother, causing her Yerusha to go to her relatives rather than his paternal brothers, by his aunt, who inherited a fortune from her son, the kiddie park contractor, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that a woman does not inherit her son. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yudah bar Rabbi Shimon said otherwise. The Bar Torah of Yoresh as Benovi Isha Yoresh as Bena. From the words of the Torah, we can derive that a father inherits his son and a woman inherits her son, because the Pasuk says Matos Shvatim, to refer to one inheriting both the father's and mother's Shvatim. Makish Mata Emu Mata Av. This compares the mother's Shevet to the father's Shevet. Just as with the inheritance of the father's Shevet, the father inherits his son, so too with inheritance of the mother's Shevet, a woman inherits her son. Daf Kufta Azvav. So the symbol Daf Kufta Azvav is a spice maker. So here goes. The spice maker's daughter's son, spice maker, that must be on Daf Kufta Azvav, Ketores. The spice maker's daughter's son, who had inherited his grandfather's spice business instead of his grandfather's brother, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Seder Nachuas Kahu, the order of inheritance is as follows. One who dies without sons is inherited by his daughter. A son precedes a daughter, Kol Yotze Yirechu Shel Ben, Kodim Labas, and all of a son's descendants precede a daughter. A daughter precedes the brothers of the deceased, and all her descendants precede the brothers. So the spice maker's daughter's son, who inherited his grandfather's spice business instead of his grandfather's brother, sold spices to a man named Reuven, who was discovered to be the long-lost relative of a man who died without descendants. Which reminds us, the Braisa taught that if the deceased has no son, ayin alav, examine him to see if he is a descendant. If he leaves no descendants, there's a parallel law to search paternal relatives, if they themselves are not alive, to see if they have any descendants. The Braisa says, the inheritance searches steadily upward through each generation up until Reuven, Yaakov Avinu's son, until the descendant of a paternal relative is found. So the spice maker's daughter's son, who inherited his grandfather's spice business instead of his grandfather's brother, sold spices to a man named Reuven, who was discovered to be the long-lost relative of a man who died without descendants, who was on his way to celebrate the 24th of Tevis when the original law was returned that a son's daughter inherits before a daughter, which reminds us, a Bryson names the 24th of Tevis as a holiday on which it's forbidden to fast because the Torah's law of inheritance was reinstated then. The Tzedukim had said that a daughter inherits together with a daughter's son until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai challenged them. Daf Kuftez Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Kuftez Zayin is haircuts. So here goes. When the owner of Harry's haircuts, that must be on Daf Kuftez Zayin. When the owner of Harry's haircuts died and didn't leave behind a son, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, Kol she'eino meniach ben le'yorsho, whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mal le'alav evro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with anger against him because the pasuk describes a daughter inheriting with Vahavarta, and a pasuk describing punishing the wicked says, Yom evro hayomahu, a day of anger that day. The pasuk says, "She'ein chalifos lamo v'liyora elokim." Those who have no replacement and they do not fear Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi argue if it refers to kol she'eino meniach ben, whoever does not leave behind a son, or kol she'eino meniach talmud, whoever does not leave behind a talmud. So when the owner of Harry's haircuts died and didn't leave behind a son, unlike his competition David the barber, whose son, who was just like him, took over when he was laid to rest, which reminds the Gemara teaches that David's passing is described as Shechiva, as opposed to Yob's death, which is described as Misa, because David left over a son like him. So when the owner of Harry's haircuts died and didn't leave behind a son, unlike his competition David the barber, whose son, who was just like him, took over when he was laid to rest, Harry's grandfather and brother argued over who would inherit the shop, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asks, if one dies and leaves behind a grandfather and an uncle, such as Avram and Yishmael regarding Esav's estate, who takes precedence? Rami answered that the Mishnah states that a father precedes all his descendants, so the grandfather would inherit. Rami Bar Chama asked the question because of his quickness. He didn't look into it because he was preoccupied with pondering his second question. If one leaves behind a grandfather and a brother, such as Avram and Yaakov regarding Esav's estate, who takes precedence? So once again, when the owner of Harry's haircuts died and didn't leave behind a son, unlike his competition David the barber, whose son, who was just like him, took over when he was laid to rest, Harry's grandfather and brother argued over who would inherit the shop. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai of all the keys, gabbai with keys, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The gabbai of all the keys to the new houses in Eretz Yisrael gave a key to a boy due to his father having been a Yotze Mitzrayim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas whether Eretz Yisrael is a portion to the Yotze Mitzrayim or to the Baya Aretz. So the gabbai of all the keys of the new houses in Eretz Yisrael gave a key to a boy due to his father having been a Yotze Mitzrayim, a very large key to a man who, although he was an only child, his uncle had many sons, which reminds us, Rabbi Yonasan, who holds the land was a portion to the Baya Aretz, explains that the pasuk which implies it was given to those in Mitzrayim means to teach this inheritance was different from all inheritances in the world. Regarding ordinary inheritances, Chayin Yorshin Mesin, the living inherit the dead. Bakan Mesin Yorshin Chayin, but here the dead inherit the living. After each person entering Eretz Yisrael received a portion, the portions reverted to their deceased fathers who had left Mitzrayim and were redivided among the heirs of the fathers. For example, if two brothers left Mitzrayim and one had one son and the other had 10, the children would receive 11 portions upon entering Eretz Yisrael, which would be inherited evenly by their fathers, each receiving 5.5 portions, which would then be inherited by their respective heirs. So the Gabbai of all the keys of the new houses in Eretz Yisrael gave a key to a boy due to his father having been a Yotzei Mitzrayim, a very large key to a man who, although he was an only child, his uncle had many sons, and 2 keys to an old man since he was a Yotzei Mitzrayim and a Nichnas L'Aretz, which reminds us, the Gemara brings an opinion that Eretz Yisrael was apportioned both to the Yotzei Mitzrayim and the Bayi Haaretz. So once again, the Gabbai of all the keys of the new houses in Eretz Yisrael gave a key to a boy due to his father having been a Yotzei Mitzrayim, a very large key to a man who, although he was an only child, his uncle had many sons, and 2 keys to an old man since he was a Yotzei Mitzrayim and a Nichnas L'Aretz. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which duff did we learn that executing a will must be done by day, like judgments? That's on duff Kufyud Gimel. Good. Number 2, which duff did we learn about Yehoshua's advice to Shevet Yosef to go up to the forest to avoid Ein Hara? That's on duff Kufyud Ches. Good. Number 3, which duff do we discuss whether Eretz Yisrael was apportioned to the Yotzei Mitzrayim or to the Bayi Haaretz? That's on duff Kufyud Zayin. Good. Number 4, which duff did we learn a son does not inherit his mother in the grave, meaning if he died before his mother, to thereby pass the inheritance to his paternal brothers? That's on duff Kufyud Dal. Good. Number 5, which duff did we learn that Yehoshua and Kalev received the Meraglim's portions in the land? That's on duff Kufyud Ches. Good. Number 6, which duff do you discuss whether an inheriting woman has to marry someone whose maternal shevet also matches her own? That's on duff Kufyud Beis. Good. Number 7, which duff do you learn that Shevet Yosef is not subject to Ein Hara? That's on duff Kufyud Ches. Good. Number 8, which duff do you learn that whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Lav Evra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with anger against him? That's on duff Kuftaz Zayin. Good. Number 8, which duff do you learn regarding the apportioning of Eretz Yisrael, Meisin Yorshin Chaim, the dead inherit the living? That's on duff Kufyud Zayin. Good. Number 9, which duff do you discuss why David's passing is described as Shechiva as opposed to Yoav's, which is called Misa? That's on duff Kuftaz Zayin. Good. Number 10, which duff do you learn that one searches for paternal relatives all the way up until Reuven? That's on duff Kuftes Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.